T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right. Ingalls Advantage Talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. I'm going to throw some names at you, okay? Elliot Rodgers, James Holmes, Nicholas Cruz, Omar Mateen, Stephen Paddock. I don't remember the people from San Bernardino. I don't remember the kid from Sutherland, Texas. Aaron Alexis. All of these people committed rampage murders, and all of those people passed a background check to buy a gun. A background check to buy a gun is a Polaroid snapshot of a moment in time. And it's from that moment back. They're looking from that moment back. It has no way of possibly being an indicator as to whether or not a person purchasing a gun is going to commit a crime with said weapon. Now, the universal background check. On paper, at first blush, people buy into it. But background checks are very flawed at their core. Background checks only control those who can buy a gun legally. And background checks normally are an indicator of where you are as well. And the Democrats keep trying to improve the system. They want to track every sale, every time, every transfer, no exceptions. 300 million guns, 100 million people or more. That's not the problem for them. They're trying to solve the wrong thing. If the guns were the actual cause of crime, there would be, you know, we wouldn't be talking here right now. Me and Patrick would not be here right now. Roger would not be here right now. Because, you know, there's between 100 and 150 million gun owners in the United States. And the numbers of guns actually existing in the United States is somewhere between 450 and 660 million guns. So that's not the problem. Tracking the location of everybody's gun and every time somebody buys a gun is not the problem. And there are exceptions to background checks. In the state of South Carolina, if you have a concealed carry permit, you have been vetted as far as they can vet you in the criminal justice system. You've been vetted both locally and by the state law enforcement division. You, when you go to buy a gun, do not go through a background check. Just to make sure of that, I bought a gun this weekend just so I could tell you that and be 100% accurate about that. So if you're terrified of guns or you want all power to collect and reside in the hands of the authorities, then background checks are not the wrong thing. Background checks are a tool for control over the population, but they don't control crime. They don't even address crime. Now, when I was talking about the illegal aliens who were buying guns, the 7.8 million that tried to buy guns last year, there's no data available on how many of these people were criminals because they couldn't buy a gun because they were in the country illegally. That's why they couldn't buy a gun. So they were committing a crime by being here. Yes, absolutely. But as to who actually committed violent crimes, do you think the Bloods and the Crips go to the gun shop? Do you think MS-13 goes to the gun shop? They don't go to the gun shop. And the Democrats know this as well. We existed from 1994 back without background checks. Background checks is something the organizers of this country would not even imagine. And they definitely wouldn't have sanctioned them. Your acquisition of power is supposed to stand totally apart from the government reach. But that's philosophical. And for a modern citizen, that may be a little too deep for you. It's hopelessly arcane for typical public school or even recent college grads. Now, what we want and what we need is to find the countless armed criminals out there, disarm them, and put them in prison. And that's not what a background check does. Background checks have zero to do with that. In fact, they detract from that goal. And arresting armed criminals, that's what makes you safer, and that's what we all seek or should. But you keep the dangerous, the repeat offenders, the people who should have guns by the millions, who should not have them. Isn't that what you want? So spending all this money and police effort and computer power to find and write down the name of every innocent citizen who goes out and buys or transfers a gun, what does that do but make people who don't understand feel good? Tens of millions of times per year, people are buying and transferring guns. It's all legal. None of it is connected with crime. And Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and Bernie and Hillary and the solid block of knowing and unwitting Democrats in both houses of Congress, they want to control that. And that's what H.R. 8 is aimed at. Checks have nothing to do with making us safe or controlling crime and danger. Their leadership is 100% aware of this. Criminals already can't even touch the guns H.R. 8 seeks to check. So if you want to reduce crime and danger and make us all more safe, you should be going after the gangs and the criminals who shoot people and the guns they already have. The supply chain to any of the bad actors, and you can ask any cop, doesn't go through sporting goods stores. Do you think when Dick's Sporting Goods stopped selling, quote-unquote, assault rifles, that stopped anything? It stopped people from going and shopping at Dick's. That's what it did. That's all it did. Criminals are armed in a dozen different ways and all known to authorities. And there's a lot of things that come into play as to why they don't actually go after that. Demographically, the biggest number of people that populate gangs are Hispanic, followed by Black, followed by White, and then followed by Asian. Well, politically correct people can't go after those first two groups. They're both protected, don't you see? Protected groups. ID politics. But if you believe that more paperwork will make you safer, then their hocus pocus is robbing you of your liberty, but it's making you feel real good. Right? Yeah. When we get back, let's talk about the polar vortex, just because I was very abused by all of that. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Listen to me, children. Back in the day, there used to be three TV channels. And when on at weather time, when we would have an outbreak of cold air coming down from Canada, we referred to that as the Alberta Clipper. Always referred to that as the Alberta Clipper. That's also the name for a low-pressure system track. Now, as we attempt to promote this idea that you and I are causing the climate to change, we refer to it now as a polar vortex. Global warming supposedly causes these vortices to break away from their normal position around the pole and move to a more southerly latitude, bringing frigid Arctic conditions to the northern United States. I don't know what used to happen prior to calling it a polar, how we justified it. I just thought it got cold. Now, this idea is completely wrong, but conveniently masked the whole lack of logic that the climate religion faces, since real-world observations contradict their claim all the time. And we're seeing more cold outbreaks, despite the belief that we're in a period of warming. We knew these were coming, by the way. There were people out there during the climate crisis when Al Gore was out there going, saying, the science is settled. All these other guys were saying, well, you know, sunspots. Now, Dr. John Holdren A former science advisor to President Buffalo Barack Hussein Obama created the polar vortex term and pronounced its supposed global warming connection from his pulpit while at the White House. And this same Holdren who proposed compulsory abortions and mass sterilizations. He argued that abortions could occur under the current existing Constitution, saying it's been long concluded that compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing Constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society. Do you realize that we could take everybody in the United on the planet, and stick them in Texas? Now, as soon as that's that way everywhere, okay, maybe now we got a population issue. When questioned about having those views during his Senate approval for his position as the science czar for the Obama administration, he denied still having them, but his stance was so extreme that it cannot simply be swept under the carpet. And he was wrong about that one, too. There's no population crisis. It illustrates Holdren's ability to distort reality because of his agenda, a skill he has honed meticulously throughout his career. Notice how he gets to control all the parameters. He concludes that compulsory laws could be sustained. And he's the one deciding when a crisis is sufficiently severe. I like that in that I'm always saying, well, who gets to decide? Well, we know now, John Holdren, he gets to decide. This parallels how the environmental religion extremists identify problems and demand solutions even when the problems don't exist. They take a normal event, then they identify it as abnormal, and then promote solutions that fulfill their global governance agenda. If you're controlling the weather and creating climate credit, guess what? Dollars don't mean nothing then. Climate credit would be the Democrat leftist Bitcoin. This works because the elitists tell us that we don't know what we're talking about. And then because we don't know what's normal, they tell us what's normal. In Agenda 21, the UN Global Control Plan, they provide justification for acting without significant evidence. They have, in Principle 15, you can see a clause eerily reminiscent of Holdren's proposal. In order to protect the environment, the precautionary approach shall be widely applied by states according to their capabilities. Where there are threats of serious or irreversible damage, lack of full scientific certainty shall not be used as a reason for postponing cost-effective measures to prevent environmental degradation. So what that means is if you're hurting Gaia, we might kill you, even if there's no evidence that we need to do that. And that is the standard environmentalist fallback precautionary principle. We should act anyway just in case. And like Holdren, they determine the problem and then they control the decisions. The easiest way to get people to think that something is normal, is a new problem, is to create a new name for it. So that's what Holdren did with the polar vortex. Yet outbreaks of cold Arctic air accompanying blizzards are well documented in folklore and scientific reports. History is resplendent, they're just all over the place there. Historian and meteorologist David Ludlam documented them in dozens of books, including Early American Winters, 1604 to 1820, and Early American Winters, 1821 to 1870. You ever read those? I suspect nobody has. I didn't even know they existed. Our understanding of cold outbreaks began when World War II pilots discovered the jet stream that flows around the poles at both hemispheres. Pilots returning from bombing raids against the Japanese found their trips home much quicker than their outbound trip when they flew within the jet stream, which is a fast-moving river of air that flows from west to east at about 10 kilometers in altitude. That coincides with the boundary between the dome of cold air sitting over the poles and the warm tropical air in between. And as the jet stream moves through the atmosphere, large waves develop called Rossby waves. So, general weather conditions change every 4 to 6 weeks as these waves migrate from west to east. But, you know, we could talk about waves all day and waves, give them names and tell you what they do. The polar vortex global warming myth is a prime example of how effective the propaganda machine is in taking the normal and creating the illusion that it is abnormal. All of you driving a combustion energy car today, your car burns very cleanly. And it's cheaper to fill it up with gas than it is to go to a Tesla charging station now. And it's easier on the environment, too. Those batteries that go into a Tesla, those things are highly, highly toxic when they've run their life. And for all of those people that hate guns, they use the lead out of them to make ammunition. So, Tesla users, thank you. Thank you for the ammunition boost. That's good. I appreciate that. But if it's hurting, if we have to burn more coal and natural gas to make power for these charging stations, how is this possibly helping Gaia?
Don't look over here. It's logic, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Don't look there.
Sorry. Gotcha. Ignore the logic.
This is the logic right here.
Right.
Okay? I'm holding it in my hands
right,
for you.
Right.
Just ignore it, okay?
Yes, sir.
This is helping.
Yes, okay. All right.
That's how it works.
This way I won't ask myself questions that I can't possibly answer.
Don't make your brain hurt, okay? That's our job.
Yes.
Our brains
gotcha.
Hurt for you.
Yes. That's it. But what it shows is that the human-caused global warming climate change scam is the biggest fake news story in history. All developed to take your money. If you have no money, and if we control your power, we control your movement, we control you. When we get back, first, you got to have the ignorance. Then you got to have the destruction. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. All right. Ingalls Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning Text Line is 71307. This is The Tara Show. I am your guest host, Bill Frady. I'm going to start getting paid by all the mistaken texts from here on out. I'm going to change my rate of pay because I'll make more money that way. Anyway, if the latest policies advanced by the prominent Democrats are any indication of what's going on within the party, then they're going off a cliff. We've got outrageous and extreme. And when you get out there and you attach it, when you say this is extreme and you're talking about abortion, well, that's bad. And those have either been enacted or proposed in New York, Virginia, and Rhode Island. You got the Green New Deal. You got Senator Cory Spartacus Booker's Meatless Society. You got Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand's determination to do away with private insurance. This whole slate coming from the Democrats is shocking. But the biggest part of the shocking part of it is the staggeringly shocking ignorance on display by these proponents. There was a time when the national press would call out political candidates and office holders if they displayed abject stupidity. Now they facilitate it, and they cover it up for it, and even promote it, as if it was genius. Just ask Jussie Smollett, because if it's on the left, it's good to go. Now, millions of American people were astonished when the Democrats displayed complete disregard for the fundamental constitutional principle of due process and the presumption of innocence and the rule of law and the confirmation of Kavanaugh. And at the time, when you're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're saying, I don't know if they can get lower than this. It doesn't seem possible. But they're overachievers. Like when the handful of the Catholic schoolboys were caught on video, looking at a fake Vietnam vet who just happened to be a native-born American. their behavior was mischaracterized at the March for Life. It wasn't enough to destroy a grown man's career with false accusations. Now they're attacking high schoolers. A few weeks later, New York passes legislation that expands abortion rights throughout the entire 40 weeks of pregnancy. I think it was in a Steve Martin movie, The Jerk. You weren't really somebody unless you got in the phone book. And that's what this sounds like. If you're not in the phone book, which doesn't exist anymore, you're not a real person, even if you're laying there looking around. And Americans watched, and they were aghast when the various states that were proposing that. They were cheering and applauding. Deaths, more death, more eugenics. Then Cuomo lit the Aspire on One World Trade Center in bright Planned Parenthood pink in celebration of reproductive rights. That building and that memorial there was constructed to solemnly commemorate the deaths of thousands of people in the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001. It's there to commemorate the guy that was standing there who just gotten to work, had his bagel, his cup of coffee, looked out, and he saw the nose of a jetliner getting big in the window. That's who it was there to commemorate, not some politically correct mode of murder. And that Cuomo would light the building to celebrate death is a travesty. But then here comes Ralph Northam, who made the flat pronouncement that in support of late-term abortion, that a baby who survives an abortion would be resuscitated if that's what the mom wants. After which a discussion would ensue. I guess whether or not to terminate that child's life.
That has to be the weirdest thing. Like, how does that make sense to people?
Well, if I walk up to a pregnant woman and I do a front kick in her stomach and I kill the child, I've committed murder. Although in New York, they just had to drop charges against the guy because of their terminology as to how they determine whether or not you're actually a person or not.
I get that, but like when the baby is removed for the abortion, mm-hmm. and then survives and gets resuscitated, do we have a lecture about it? Like, do we have a slideshow presentation? You know, I want to know more about that.
Well, see, I guess there's a point, a demarcation point, where you go from being a lump of cells to a human. And I guess that, you know, maybe James Holdren makes that determination as to when that happens. I don't know. For 40 years, people have been saying that that kind of policy is a slippery slope. And, you know, there's in New York, in New York's case, these procedures can be performed by not a doctor. So when you look at this and you lump the Democrats cheering for death together with the transoceanic high-speed rails, which how does a train cross the ocean? That I want to see that. All of the policies that they seem to be serious about are grounded in ignorance, but also in profound hostility to humanity. Now, a commercial enterprise does not have the same value as a human being, but they are exercises of human ingenuity, and the best businesses serve humanity in many ways through technological advances, provision of goods and services, you know. Howard Schultz knows that, and he's one of the ones that's making them run scared. But that's a story for another day. Coming up next is the Vince Coakley radio program. You are listening to 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.